May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Are you the one to come, or are we to wait for another? What a poignant, maybe even heartbreaking question to hear from John the Baptizer. In one short week, our narrative of John and Jesus has moved very quickly. We jump forward in time to find the brashness of John in the wilderness has been supplanted by the uncertainty of John in a prison cell. John's confident anticipation of the Messiah's arrival has turned to confused uncertainty and doubt. I suspect this reversal of mood and outlook is familiar to most of us. We have a path for our lives that we follow. We are optimistic and convinced that we have everything well in hand. And then something stops us in our tracks. The setback that knocks us for a loop. It might be an illness, loss of a job, death of a loved one, a relationship that falls apart, or any of 100 different catastrophes that rob us of hope and optimism, at least for a time. John sits in the darkness of his cell, imprisoned by a ruthless and capricious king. He has plenty of time to consider the bitter reality for him that the one whom he had announced as the Messiah has given no indication that he will raise up an army to overturn that king and establish the kingdom of heaven. Nor is there any indication that John's own movement of repentance and baptism is making much headway. In fear for his own safety and in his disappointment about what he sees as failure, John sends his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one?" In fact, it may have occurred to John that he and Jesus had very different ideas about righteousness. Jesus is no ascetic as John is. John lives on whatever he can scrounge up in the desert, locusts and wild honey. Jesus, on the other hand, is so willing to eat and drink that he's been accused of being a drunkard and a glutton. And he hangs out with all the wrong people. No wonder John is seeking assurance. He has got to know that his life is on the line as he sits in that jail cell. He's trying to figure out if his ministry of preaching and baptizing and speaking truth to power is going to have any difference in the end. I have to wonder if he hoped that Jesus would come to his rescue. It seems reasonable. Jesus could have come to Herod and engaged in the kind of verbal jujitsu that he was so willing to engage with all of his other opponents. But instead, Jesus sends John's disciples back with a typically indirect answer. He reminds John of the fruits of the powerful ministry of Jesus among the people of the land. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Jesus is reminding John that Jesus has been fulfilling and enacting the prophecies of the year of the Lord's favor such as those that we have been hearing from the prophet Isaiah for these 3 weeks of Advent so far. Jesus reminds John that both of their stories find their meaning in the context of the greater story of God's love for Israel, for all creation, as evidenced also by Isaiah's vision of the desert being restored to life and even blooming. Jesus also reminds John and us that John's own ministry was not meant to comfort those who sought him out in the wilderness by telling them what they wanted to hear. John is a true prophet and more than a prophet, Jesus says. John and Jesus have both come to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near and that we need to repent. Herod and other representatives of the powers of this world will try to overcome with violence the kingdom that Jesus and John proclaim. John will be executed by Herod, and Jesus will be crucified by a coalition of powers in Jerusalem. But the kingdom is established in the peace brought by Jesus, who overcomes that violence through love. Jesus is the Messiah who came to be Emmanuel, God with us in all of our troubles. He is God with us in our weakness, in our doubts, in our suffering and struggles. Now, Jesus doesn't eliminate any of these things. They are still with us. But instead, Jesus is our companion in those troubles. Jesus holds us and reminds us that we are never alone and that he has promised to be with us always. It's something of a relief for me to hear in today's gospel that even John, the prophet and more than a prophet, needed reassurance of the promises of the kingdom of heaven. If even John needed someone to bear the Christ light to him in the nighttime of his fears, then I can feel less guilty and alone in those times of doubt and grief that drag me down into the pit. It is clear to me from my conversations with you and from other interactions in this parish and among a wider circle of friends that there are many of us who know the pit of doubt and grief only too well. And it's natural to experience uncertainty there and to ask hard, heartbreaking questions. You are not alone. You are not alone in that. For some of us, Christmas will be a time of loss and sorrow this year, rather than a time of joy and celebration. And maybe even for some of us, it has been that way for some time and will continue to be for a while. If you are in the pit, if you are confined in a dark cell of grief and loss, if you are wondering if Jesus is really the one for whom we've been waiting, I pray that you will remember deep in your heart and soul that Jesus, God with us, knows your pain and sorrow and accompanies you through it. We wait in Advent and we prepare. We prepare for action. And the action we prepare for is to carry that Christ light to those who are enduring a nighttime of fear, loneliness. We believe that God is with us in Christ, bringing healing, peace, justice, joy, hope, and love. We prepare for Christ to come among us again in time and space by doing what we can to create among us now a community of disciples who are committed to promoting healthy, peaceful, just, joyful, hopeful, loving practices in our parish and in our community. Just as John's question, "Are you the one we're waiting for?" is a plea for reassurance from those who sit in darkness, the answer Jesus gives is a call to action. Because Jesus no longer walks among us, we need to work for the kingdom and the vision of harmony and justice. We are called and empowered to strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees, to say to those who are of a fearful heart, "Be strong, do not fear. You are not alone." We began our service today with the lighting of Advent candles to remind us that the light grows in the darkness when we take action. We pray for peace and justice and comfort and hope. Let us rejoice that God will use us to answer those prayers. Rejoice and be glad always.